So there is a saying that people like. I think we're one slide ahead of where we should be, guys. There's a couple sayings that I hear a lot. You hear it a lot on anything that Hollywood produces. I hear it a lot from a lot of people in the community. And that is, you know, I did this thing because I'm just being true to myself. Have you seen that attitude? Have you heard people say that? Or someone's like, yeah, I'm doing this thing and you probably won't like it. And the person responds, well, you just do you. Right? Whatever makes you happy. And, you know, I see this out there. And first of all, I find a lot of the people that say, you know, I'm just being true to myself, it's because they're making a really bad choice. And they just want to experience it. And everyone's going, oh, no, here we go. The world is about to implode for this person. But you do you, right? But Christians, too, oftentimes live this way. Say things in this way. But the issue is, you know, I'm just being true to myself, or you do you. It needs to be radically different for a Christian. See, I can handle people out there saying, well, I've just got to be true to myself. But in the church, when it's people that claim to be following Jesus, this can be either a good thing or a bad thing to say I'm being true to myself. If when you say I'm being true to myself, you mean I'm being true to the nature that God has put inside of me through Jesus, I'm going to be a little bit weird because it's abnormal to live this way, behave this way, give this way. I mean, how many of you understand that giving away 10, 15, 20% of your income to God's work in the world and then submitting the rest of it to him and giving your time and getting up early on a Sunday morning is weird. But you do you. About a year ago there, I was walking around my house and I'd been praying a little bit about, you know, God, what do you want me to do? How can I shine as a light for you? And as I was walking around my house, I actually realized that there was not a single Christian anything on my walls, on my I had Christian books on my bookshelves, but, you know, most of the time you walk into a Christian's home, and it's like, you know, there's just all kinds of really cliche, groan-worthy things on the walls. You know, like that 1980s faded out Footprints in the Sand poem, right? I'm sorry if I just offended some of you that are like, hey, that's my favorite art piece. Whatever. Anyways, I'm not going there. But, you know, you see like crosses or whatever it might be. And I was looking around my house and I was like, wow, you know, God is such an essential part of my life. Jesus is so integral to who I am and who I want my family to be. But when I come into the place that I dwell, that I'm raising my family, someone walking through these doors without actually an interaction with my family would never know that my family is a Christian family. And so that began a process of looking for things that I could do in my home to begin to bring that across. And in fact, it started moving over into many of my hobbies too, asking myself, okay, in this hobby, it's great to be able to like unplug and all of that. And it's a little dicey for me as a pastor because as soon as something becomes like Christian, it's like going to work, you know? But what I realized is that truly, if my identity is found in Jesus and my mission here on earth is to be a light to the world, then how is it that I am living my life as if I've taken that lamp and put a basket over it until someone talks to me? And so it began to shift the way that I do things. And so if you come to my house now, you'll see there's a bunch of, there's a couple of crosses that I've made. There's some art pieces, classical art, that I found moving. So for those that I was making fun of for being in the 80s, I think one of the things I have on my wall now was painted in France. And well, not the actual thing, but it's a print from a painting from France from like the 1400s. So I'm even more out of date than you are now. So feel better about yourself, right? But what I really realized is that if we're truly meant to shine our lights, it means that we have to be comfortable with who Christ is making us to be. We need to say, I'm being true to myself, not as an excuse to get away with the junk we want to do that God doesn't want us to do, but actually as the impetus for standing courageously and letting our light shine in dark places. And so today, as I talk, I really hope that something will click with you today, that if you're a follower of Jesus, maybe something gets shaken up in you as you begin to examine your life and realize, whoa, I don't think I'm letting my light shine. And for those of you in this room or online, maybe you would consider yourself not a Christian, you're an unchurched person or something like that. And first of all, I want to say welcome. I'm so glad that you are with us here today, either in person or online. You are wonderful for joining us here today, and you are welcome here. I think that you're going to get something out of this too, because I'm going to be talking about a little bit about what Jesus does in us when we follow him. So if you've been kind of on the fence, like, well, I don't know if I'm ready to commit to this thing, maybe this is what you need. And so for us today, the thing that I want us really to remember is this statement here. Don't hide who Jesus is helping you to be. Right? That's really the essence of let your light shine. Don't hide who Jesus is helping you to be. We're really bad with this in Canada. We don't want to have conversations that'll be uncomfortable. We don't want to have that person look at us and go like, oh, you're a Christian, so do you think you're better than I am? And by the way, if someone ever says that, you say, no, I think that I'm worse than you are. That's why I needed Jesus. See? Oh, you can turn it around. There's always an answer. Okay? Your nature, your very nature as a follower of Jesus with Christ in you is a living testimony within this dark world. Don't hide who Jesus is helping you to be. I think, honestly, Pastor, you and I could probably just end it there. We could all go home early, and we could invite all of our neighbors and friends over and just shine brightly, and they would be like, that's an effective message, Pastor Stephen. I see a few people, they're starting to shift to like, oh, do we get to go now? No. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this group of people, and for those that are following you, Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would truly help us to begin to represent the one who we have invited to take over our lives, Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would help us to hear what it is that you want to say to us today, that we would be receptive to the things that you want to say. And Lord, for those that are here online and they're not followers of Jesus, but they're sticking around, I just thank you, Lord, and I ask that you would bless them through this message today. Jesus, take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's jump over to what Jesus said. The words of Jesus recorded in a book of the Bible called Matthew. Now, Matthew was a follower of Jesus who gives us his eyewitness account of many of the things that Jesus taught and did and all of that. And so he records in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." You are the light of the world. No one lights a lamp and hides it under a basket. Anyone that went to Sunday school as a little kid back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and maybe the early aughts, has probably committed this to memory through a kitschy little kid's song that I sang a couple weeks ago and I'm not going to repeat. But maybe that's clicking with you here today, and there's truth in that. See, I think you notice I was encouraging us during that one song there, like, do we understand how exciting It is what Jesus did. So maybe we need to get up off of our feet and jump and dance for the Lord. Maybe we need to celebrate him. Maybe we need to just let the joy of the Lord flow through us, right? I think all of us have met those Christians who seem to think that the most honorific thing that you can do for Jesus is to scowl at people. Have you ever met those people? You know what I mean? Like, I'm at church now. Oh, well, what's wrong? Oh, I'm great. Okay. Well, let's pray. Okay. I have to be very serious now. Like, can we be excited? Like, Jesus died for us. Jesus, I'm going to use a big word here. He redeems us, right? If you want a very simplistic way of thinking of that word, you do it with coupons, right? He redeems us. We were in one place and he paid the price so that we could be brought out of that thing. He brought us to new life. He saves us from death and damnation and brings us into the very presence of God as his adopted sons and daughters. That is an amazing thing. So why do we hide it? Jesus left us on earth to do one thing. So why do we run from it? See, Jesus did a great work and he continues to work in you and through you. He did a great work. So many people in our world, we get so caught up, so stuck in this cycle of going like, something's not right in my life, so maybe if I buy this thing, or maybe if I work hard, or maybe if I get that raise, maybe if I sleep with that person, maybe if I try out that new thing, maybe if I decide to identify a different way, that I'm going to be able to escape this feeling of brokenness and emptiness and find something deeper within myself. And anybody that has ever experienced trying to seek some sort of wholeness, fullness in this life, you know that you might be able to achieve it for a moment, but quite often you snap back to a worse place of brokenness than you were before, or at the very least to the same place of brokenness that you were before. The reality is that we live in a broken world. It's broken because of the curse of sin in this world. That is the rejection that humanity has towards the things of God and his design for us. And God saw us in our brokenness. He sees us in our inability to climb out of the hole that we have dug ourselves. And so he stepped in when the time was perfect and wholly right. He came to earth in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. He lived the life that we were always intended to live as spirit-filled, sinless individuals. And he, without sin, fully God and fully man, showed us what it is to experience temptation, to experience rejection, to experience suffering, but to do it all to the glory of God. And humanity, in our wondrous, forgiving, and loving, and kind nature, decided that we should tear the flesh from his body, brutally beat him, strip him naked, and then nail him to die through suffocation and exposure to a rough-hewn wooden cross. And yet, here's the secret that I have to tell you. We didn't surprise Jesus when we did this. He came to earth knowing that that was the plan, that he would bear in his body the repercussions for sin, so that whoever believes on the name of Jesus and confesses that he is Lord will not perish, but will receive eternal life. A life that starts now. You don't just get heaven. That's not the Christian life. It's not just heaven. It's a work that comes inside of you. We walk through the door of Jesus's grace and mercy through his death and resurrection. And on the other side, the Spirit of God fills us and begins to transform us and make us new. In fact, the great early church missionary, the Apostle Paul is what we call him, Okay, many of us are very familiar with him. He wrote a number of books of the Bible that we have today. And this is what he says Christians should do. Do not be conformed to this world, but be, what's that word? Transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God is doing a work in you. He doesn't want us to walk around in life trying to make ourselves like the world out there. The world out there is hopeless. The world out there seeks after things that are but shadows of the created order. A peace that is not peace, a love that is not love, a joy that does not endure. And yet we as followers of Jesus are called to something greater. We are called not to hide our light under a basket, but to let it shine through the work of Christ that's taking place in us and through us, so that the world, this dark world, may see the city on a hill and come seeking the name of Jesus. Jesus is doing a work in you. And what we need to understand is that God's Spirit brings supernatural peace, joy, hope, and love. You don't need to feel stuck. You don't need to feel like if you could just have what that person has, if you could just seek out those things that the television is telling you is so important. In the case of my son Joshua, if you could just buy another fragrance that such and such influencer on YouTube says that you have to have, otherwise you're going to smell like a skunk. Sorry, Josh. You only need $150 perfume, okay? If you could just have these things, I'll have some joy. I'll have some peace. There'll be hope in the world if we could just solve this problem. I'll experience love if only I could find a good girl or a good guy, you know? No, God's Spirit brings supernatural peace, joy, hope, and love, and so much more. That's why that same missionary, the Apostle Paul, he wrote to the church in Galatia. We find this in the Bible too. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is no law against these things. And even if they were, it is the Spirit of God who births it within us. And no law can stand against these things. And so, friends, today what I want to encourage you is be confident in who God's making you into. Be confident in it. Are you going to seem a little bit weird to people? Absolutely. I got to tell you, I used to work in construction when I was doing my first degree, and I would be in the shop, and of course, in construction, if you've ever worked construction, people have a certain type of language that they use, and what I call this language is they have about 5 words and then like and but, you know? And and those 5 words are ones that my mother told me I'm not supposed to speak. You know what I mean? And so they'd always sit there, and they knew that I was a Christian, right? Because my dad was their boss. And they'd be like, "Why don't you swear?" And I'd be like, "Why would I swear?" You know, and then on one occasion, actually, I had something very heavy, about 200 pounds. It came down and crushed my thumb. And so I had to go to the hospital, get checked out. Nothing was broken. I came back, and the guy I was working in the shop with that day, he came over to me. He's like, "I am very impressed." "About what?" He's like, "You don't know the bloody murder I would have been screaming and the cussing that would have been coming out of my mouth if that had happened to me. And all you did was say, ow." It's like that's weird to people. People don't get it. But if we just allow the Spirit of God to transform us, and then we don't hide it, we don't try to fit in with everyone else, and we just be who God is making us to be, we be joyous, we be the voice of reason and hope in this dark world when everyone's saying it's hopeless, don't hide it. Don't put it under a basket. Let your light shine and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It is so easy in this world to get more and more afraid. I see Christians, oh goodness, in 2020, the fear of the Christian people, no matter what your political views were, the fear. It was rampant. And what is so crazy to me is that what was the point of the fear? I mean, Christians used to say, I will not walk away from following Christ and the things that he is doing in me, even if confronted with the sword, with lions, with bears, with the rack, anything. You realize that historically, Christians would get filleted alive, and the way out was literally just to say, yeah, I won't worship Jesus anymore. I'm going to worship your gods. And they'd say, nope, I'm going to preach Christ until my body gives out. And we were sitting there like, oh my goodness, it's a mask. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that if you live out the life that Jesus has called you to, that if you live according to the nature, the spirit nature that is being birthed within you, that bad things are going to happen. Guess what? They are. I'm going to tell you that right up front, okay? I'm going to be a bad salesman today because in a bit, I'm going to ask people if they want to follow Jesus. And I'm going to tell you that if you truly follow Jesus, bad things are going to happen to you. You just don't go through it alone and there's a better end to stuff. Don't believe me? Here's Jesus talking again. God blesses you if. Is that word if? What's that word? When. Do you know when I say when is when something is expected? God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because what? Because you follow Jesus. God blesses you when people pick on you, when they take away opportunities that you feel you deserve, when they lie about you and try to say all sorts of evil things about you because you're his followers. Did you know that the early Christians had to face charges of cannibalism? That there were rumors going around that they were cannibals because they ate the body of Christ during communion? They literally were eating bread and wine, but because they said this is the body of Christ, then there was a rumor going around that they were sitting there eating people. When people lie about you, when they do mean things to you, not because you're a jerk, not because you're a terrible person, okay? Not because you go out and you gossip and lie about people, but because you are my followers, God blesses you. You guys jump me to the next slide. Thank you. Be happy about it. I don't know about you. That's weird. Bad things are happening. They're lying about me. All this. Oh, man, I am so glad. I am so glad these things are happening, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. It's amazing. So don't be afraid. Don't be silent, because everyone, Jesus says, who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone, this is a scary passage, folks. You want to be scared? Be scared about this. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't be afraid about letting your light shine. Be afraid about not shining it, about denying Christ. Don't deny, don't hide, shine. It's an interesting thing. One of the things I try very hard to do as a pastor, it's very easy as a pastor to become very insular, right? All my time is taken up with Christian people and Christian things and Christian ministries. And so I go out of my way to try to connect with people from our community. And so I served on the Chamber of Commerce Board for 9 years when I got here. I'm taking the year off and Embry took over for me. But what's so interesting when you're hanging out with non-Christians is before they really recognize that you're in the room or who you are, they're, you know, oh my, fill in the blank this and F this and all, like, the, you know, your ears are burning, right? And then they see me and they know I'm a pastor, or they find out I'm a Christian or a pastor, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, sorry. And then they'll go and you can just see them, like, they get super tense, like, now I have to think of actual words. What am I gonna do? And so what's so amazing, okay, is I'll tell people, listen, you're not a Christian. You're not in my church. If that's who you are, that's how you talk, just talk how you're gonna talk. But here's the thing. If you're gonna be who you are, you need to let me be who I am. And I'm a follower of Jesus and I talk about him. So if you're okay with me talking about my Lord, then I will manage with you cussing. You be you, let me be me, and hopefully my light will shine a little brighter. You know, and it's been amazing because all of a sudden there's these friendships and the wall comes down. It's not, oh, I gotta be on my best behavior. It's, okay, this is who I am. And then because we have this agreement, when I bring something up, it's no big deal. Am I obnoxious about it? Am I judgmental? No, that's the whole point. I'm not, but I'm talking about my experience with Jesus and what he's done for me. I'm talking about what our church is doing in our community, which, by the way, you're allowed doing too. And what is so amazing is because of this understanding where I'm not going to judge you and run away from you because of the language you use or the jokes that you tell, if you don't run away from me or shut me down because I'm telling you about what Jesus is doing in my life or in my church, there's an understanding. And then from there, friendships are born and trust is created. And guess who gets the call when bad things are happening in someone's life? Right? That's the amazing thing about when we decide that we're not going to judge others, but we're also not going to hide who Jesus is helping us to be. Don't hide who Jesus is helping you to be. Heavenly Father, right now, I just ask that you would renew our hearts. Renew our desire for you. God, help us to be real. To be real people, to come to church and take off the mask, to go out into the community and not wear this mask of holier than thou attitude, but that we would recognize that we once we were lost, but now we are saved, and that we are being transformed, but it is only by the grace of God that we can say that we have life. It is only by the grace of God that we can say, I am a child of God. And Lord, help us to be agents of grace and mercy in our community. To be people who shine brightly for you in the dark places of abuse and tragedy. The dark places of addiction, Lord God. Of dependence. Help us to be a beacon of light and hope and peace and love and joy in this broken world. And continue to renew us and make us new. In Jesus' holy name. I talked earlier about what Jesus did for us, about the hope that is available in him. And today I want to give the opportunity, if you're online or you're in this place today, I'm gonna ask everyone, will you close your eyes and bow your heads? I don't want anyone to look around. Let's make this a private moment, can we? I know that a few of us, as soon as I say bow your heads and close your eyes, you open your eyes and you look around. And so I'm gonna say, be obedient. Just in this one, this isn't like, no one's coming in with a machete or anything like that. I guarantee it. I can see the door. I will yell if that happens. All right, so let's all close our eyes. Come on, it's okay. Okay. With no one looking around, if today you would like to say yes to Jesus, you haven't been following him, You haven't given him your life, but you say, you know what? He died for me. I want out of this brokenness and I want him to begin to transform me. I want the light of Jesus within me. Then I just ask that you would raise your hand in this time with no one looking around online. If you would like that, can you just put yes in the comments right now? Awesome. Let's all pray a prayer together. Know today that if you pray this prayer and you mean it from your heart, that you desire to give Jesus your life, then even before you pray this prayer, you have entered into the family of God. But repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and I'm tired of the brokenness. Thank you for entering into this world. Thank you for experiencing what we experience. Today I'm giving you my life. Please give me yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and transform me by your love. Today I give you my whole self for the rest of my life. And I thank you, Lord, that when I mess up, you don't reject me, but you pick me up, you dust me off, and you walk beside me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart today, giving your life to Jesus for the first time, let me encourage you, the in-house here, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. It says, connect with us. If you fill that card out and you give it to Al, who's gonna be back by the door there again, we've got a Bible and some resources we'd love to get into your hands. Online, you can go to ascc.life, tap on, I just gave my life to Jesus, fill out that form, and someone will be in contact with you a little bit later on in the week to follow up and make sure that you have the resources you need as well for this journey that you are going on with Jesus. Everyone, Pastor Ewan is going to be available at the front here to pray with anyone that needs prayer for anything for the next 5 or 10 minutes. So don't hesitate. If you want prayer for something, line up, all right? Because if nobody comes for like 5 minutes, he's just going to walk back there and visit with people. So seize the opportunity if you need it, all right? I preach shorter than usual today, so you got time. Your reservation is okay if you're going out for lunch, all right? The people you invited over for a barbecue, they're not there yet. Don't panic. And everyone, God bless you all, and you're dismissed.